Good morning. It is my joy this morning to worship the Lord with you, my brothers and sisters. It's also a joy. Thank you so much, worship team. Last week, I gave you guys a bit of homework. I hope that you have been thankful for those who have invested in you to be disciples of Jesus. And I pray that you too will continue to be that investor in the lives of others to make disciples. That was your one and only homework. I hope you've done it. Yeah. I thank every brother and sister that had come up to say thank you. I thank every one of my Sunday school teachers that are here. If it weren't for you and your patience, if it weren't for you willing to take every bit of headache that I've given to you when I was in Sunday school, if it weren't for you, I would not be here today. Now I seek to encourage you. Now, encourage is a very loaded word. It might mean to some of you, traumatically, oh, Pastor, what more are you going to ask us to do? But Paul, in speaking to his beloved son in faith, Timothy, actually has only one thing to say to him, and everything else unfolds from responding to that one thing. And so just as Paul tells us to do one thing and the rest unfolds, I pray that we will hear that one thing of encouragement that we can take confidence in and be able to do the rest by His strength and by His mercy. What do I mean by that? I mean to say that the encouragement that you will then get from the Word is to receive that one thing that empowers you to do everything else for His glory and for your betterment as well. Therefore, it is also an all-in proposal that if you don't do that one thing, if I put it in a double negative, if you don't do this one thing, it's no wonder nothing else works. Okay, so I hope we see the tension in that statement. Reading to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I read from verse 6 to the end, verse 18. Okay, let me read that for you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 6 to 18. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. If those of you who don't have a Bible, please, there are Bibles in the pews that you can follow us with. Otherwise, you have pulled out your Bible app on your phone. Yeah, please share to the neighbor around you who may not have the text. Yeah. Reading from verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior. Now, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life, immortality, and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. This is the word of the Lord. What is the one thing that Paul starts with that makes everything else fall in line? Okay, in verse 6 we see, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. So the first thing and the most important thing we should do, brothers and sisters, is to fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. Fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes here, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Salvation. True. But how does salvation unfold in our lives? Number one, it is, of course, the finished sacrifice on the cross and the empty tomb. And number two, it is the seal of the Holy Spirit in our lives that helps us profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that covers us so that we are no longer subjected to the old covenant of the law, but now beginning in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. And this Holy Spirit fanning a flame in us does not stop at our confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it grows bigger and bigger until it engulfs and encapsulates every part of our lives. Verse 7, for the Spirit of God, so that's the identity of fanning into flame the good gift that was done by the laying of hands. So Paul, therefore, preached the gospel unto Timothy, laid hands on him and prayed for him like we would normally do for our brothers and sisters. And upon receiving and believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit fills them that may continue to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But notice this, it does not stop there. Because Timothy and all of us here, when we receive the Holy Spirit, and if we continue to fan it aflame, we therefore grow in confidence, grow in courage, grow in faithfully representing Him in all that we do. That's why verse 7 says, There's a grammatical mismatch here. Let me read to you from what I remember from Sunday school. For God did not give us the spirit of timidness, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God does not give us that Holy Spirit just so that we continue to be timid. But please bear in mind, friends, the opposite of timidness is not charisma. Okay? Now, I know some of my conservative brothers and sisters here, you are being a little worried as to where am I going with this? Is my charismatic Tourette's coming up? Well, let me tell you, well, partially, but it's Bible-based. And here's what the Bible says about contrasting the spirit of timidness. The spirit of timidness is not being shy or introverted. Being shy and introverted are characters and personalities that God has put upon you, and that is not a sin. That's not a sin. Timidness is the idea of, oh, it's not my problem, someone else will do it. Oh, I'm never good enough, someone else will do it. I will never be picked up from the Lord, someone else will do it. That is that spirit of timidness. Thinking that other people will fill up the gap for you, or that you are never good enough to do what the Lord is calling you to do. But God then gives us, instead of spirit of timidness, He gives one of power. And from that power, you see, He gives out in the grace of love. And from love, it goes on to self-discipline. One of the tenets of the object in the Boys Brigade is self-respect, not self-love. Okay? Self-love is what many youth programs give to young people to say, don't worry, you are good enough. No, you're not good enough. Don't believe me? Join recruits. Join me for the recruits for the first 6 weeks and realize that, wow, I cannot do 20 push-ups. It's hard, you know? I can't plank for a minute. I might be able to plank for 30 seconds, but not a minute. You realize that, wow, okay, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. But if I continue in the boys' brigade, every one of them can do 20, 30, 40, and if they're very naughty, 50 push-ups. No problem. It grows and matures us. But it starts, in the boys' brigade at least, it starts with signing up and say, I commit to 40 weeks to be a better person. And that is self-respect. Self-respect is looking at yourself to say that, yes, right now, you might not be good enough, but if you give yourself the time to focus, you'll be better, that you can be better. In that same spirit, Paul then tells us that the Holy Spirit is the thing that makes us better people all the time. And therefore, our first thing that we should do is to not negate or turn away from that moment the Holy Spirit gave us the confidence to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, we should fan that same gracious faith that the Holy Spirit has put in us, that we may be greater testimonies in all of our lives. Let it engulf every aspect of our lives. Let me give you an example. This is where I feel we, as a church, can sometimes go wrong when we preach moralism and not the gospel. Moralism looks at the fruit of the Spirit and looks at it as either a shopping list or a things to become in order to be a good Christian. Okay, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The song is still stuck in my head, so I need to say it twice. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. Okay, don't get me started, okay? We will, if for those who are moralists, meaning to say that, oh, I must be a good person in order to satisfy Jesus, we then look at the fruit of the Spirit and say, oh, in order to prove the fruit of the Spirit in me, I must be more loving. I must be more gentle. I must be more kind. I must be more faithful. That's not the point of the text. The real gospel is this. If you lack in love, if you lack in gentleness, if you lack in faithfulness, go back to the Holy Spirit. Go back to the Holy Spirit. If you find yourself trying to be a more loving person but cannot, it's probably because you did not go back to the Holy Spirit. You did not go back to the love of God. You did not go back to God and say, Lord, I recognize that I am not a loving person. So help me to share the love of Jesus to others. Why? Because we as humans, we can only love so much by our own mind, by our own heart. But if we go back to the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, I want to love as much as you have loved me. But don't teach me to love because I can't do it by myself. Give me, O Lord, your Holy Spirit. And by His strength, I may love others just as you have loved me. It is by that Holy Spirit that gentleness comes up. It is by that Holy Spirit faithfulness comes up. So to the parent who finds himself always angry at his kids, the lesson to take from this is not to say, oh God, help me so that I may be more loving to my child. It's not just that. It is also, oh God, please help me by your Holy Spirit to love my child as you love them. That's very different. Very, very different. I am emphasizing on this point, my dear friends, because if we don't do this, we are still going about a salvation by works thing. Meaning to say that we try and be good enough to enter the kingdom of God. But rather, it is the kingdom of God by His Holy Spirit that makes us good enough to reflect His very character. So, my dear friends, have you have you fanned the flame of the Holy Spirit that you first received when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Or have you quenched it, which in itself is a sin? Do not quench the Holy Spirit, but let it go aflame, let it engulf you, so that people will not see merely a person trying to be religious, but they are seeing a revived person before them, because they have given their lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit. There's a lot to be said about this, but let me just leave it with you, our statement of faith, which you can find on pbc.my, on the item of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit cultivates Christian character, comforts believers, and bestows the spiritual gifts by which they serve God through His church. Pause there for a moment. In that whole one sentence there, God does two-thirds of it. We only do one small part. It is the Holy Spirit. It is not the Christian that tries and build his own character by himself, but it is the Holy Spirit that cultivates the Christian character. It is the Holy Spirit that comforts the believer. So therefore, you don't counsel yourself, say, oh, I must calm down, I must be gracious, even though I lost a loved one, I should not overly express myself, express myself. No. Allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you in your time of grief. If you as a Christian are looking for the spiritual gifts of God and have gone from one seminar to another class to another prayer altar and you're still not receiving it, well, maybe it's because you are going to these meetings and prayer meetings and altars and conferences to look out for the gifts instead of looking up for the Holy Spirit who will give you that gifts. What we then do is that from what God has given us by His Holy Spirit is that we serve Him through His church. And on top of that, the Holy Spirit does more. He seals the believer unto the day of final redemption. His presence in the Christian is the guarantee that God will bring the believer into the fullness of the stature of Christ. What that means is, when we go to God on that final day, He is not going through the list of whether Pastor Mark is, did he do good enough good things to enter into heaven. No. He is looking for the seal of His Son Jesus, which He has given through the Holy Spirit. That is what He's looking for. And when He sees that, He says, well done, good and faithful servant, because He's pointing to the Holy Spirit in you, not just merely you. He is also saying, well done, my child. You are a child of God, not because of anything good that you've done. We don't remain our parents' children because of the good things that we do. We are still our parents' children, whether we are good or naughty, right? Therefore, God looks at us dearly and lovingly because of the Holy Spirit that has sealed us for eternity. And for our everyday life, He enlightens and empowers the believer and the church in worship, evangelism, and service. So again, I boil back down to the main thing, friends. If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. Fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. Fan and go back to the time when you were a younger person that you saw and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and how that had changed you, and how that can continue to magnify and rather than quenching down. And for those who have not received that experience, I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm saying that God, therefore, is waiting on you to fan that flame, to realize, my God, I am a believer. Oh Lord, my God, I am your child. Oh Lord, my God, if with you we can do all things, I imagine What now can we do for your glory? From fanning the flame, everything else follows suit. From the flame of the Holy Spirit, we don't be ashamed of the gospel. Verses 8 to 12 is a personalization, almost a witness testimony of the gospel in the lives of those in Ephesus, in Paul's personal life, in Timothy's life, and therefore, and also can be an application for our lives as well. Verses 8 to 12, it says this: "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner." Okay? What is the testimony about our Lord? The testimony about our Lord is actually, in fact, the gospel. The testimony about our Lord is basically the initial believers received news and heard that there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross, and on the third day he rose again, and he appeared to 500 others, as well as his disciples, posthumously. From there is the response of every believer by the power of the Holy Spirit to say, or come to that reasonable conclusion, that Jesus is who he claims himself to be: our Lord, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. This is very consistent as to what Paul says in most of his letters, especially Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power to bring people from death to life." So Paul identifies, if we fan the flame and allow the Holy Spirit to empower us, we will never be ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power that brought us from spiritual death to eternal life. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Now, why does Paul link himself so closely to the gospel? It's because the gospel changes everything. The gospel changes everything in Paul's life. The gospel changes everything in our lives as well. So when we receive the gospel to be the truth, we therefore have supplanted ourselves, we have grafted ourselves into the tree of life, and therefore we and the gospel are one and the same testimony. And so he says this: Timothy, don't be ashamed about the witness about our Lord, but and nor of me of his gospel, rather join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Suffer, we are going to suffer for the gospel, but we will do so with the power of God. I'll read on a bit more and then I'll explain that. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Verses 8 to 12 shows us the paradoxical victory of the good news of Jesus Christ in everyone's life, who is destined to physical death, but in Jesus Christ we may have eternal life. Let me explain that. Every legend when it comes to gods, in the pagan and in the old myths, even our Chinese mythological stories, right? It starts with a hero, okay, who finds out he's a demigod, try and accomplish all the great tasks in order to be a god level. He nearly dies, but somehow by his own strength, he is able to rise back up to the occasion and become a well-known god. May it be the Monkey King, may it be the King Jade, may it be the Jade Emperor, may it be Hercules or Artemis or Hephaestus et cetera. Even Zeus, even Hera, all these gods, even Thor will have all these things. That's why Marvel Comics, the same story applies. right? The superhero becomes a great thing. He is then handicapped for a period of time and then rises above the occasion. If you watch Superman that just released on Thursday, same thing. Same thing. Okay? But the gospel is very different. The gospel is very different is because the hero was put to shame. The hero was forced to be beaten up, flogged like he was an actual criminal, to be crucified like a real criminal, to die, to actually die for the sake of our lives. And so the whole world, the normal story of the heathens around the world will try and tell you, us Christians, that we are believing in a fairy tale. Shame on you. You guys are mature people. Why do you believe of this carpenter's son Jesus, who was able to, did he really rise from the dead? And the answer is, against the shame that they try to push us, is that yes, he did rise from the dead. It was witnessed by the early disciples. If they wanted to gain anything from themselves, they would have said that, oh, this great hero Jesus, he died, there's his tomb, he asked us to carry on the good news, and therefore you should pay tribute to me. That's how you make a religion. That's how you earn money. But these guys were willing to forsake their own safety and security to be imprisoned, to be beheaded, to be flogged, to be beaten as disciples of Jesus. Because why? It is easier to stand on the truth than to live on a lie. And the truth is, Jesus really did rise from the dead. And just as he promised, if we believe with him, if we die with him, so then we shall live with him forevermore. That is the continuing witness. Now, you may ask me, how then do we know to today? We go back to the first point, because of the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit that when we pray in Jesus' name, we know that by faith, he will accomplish his task. It is by the Holy Spirit that causes, that enables the likes of Paul to endure the suffering that he goes through for the sake of the gospel. So friends, just to let you know, that believing in Jesus does not end our suffering on this earth. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to go through it together and be found relieved by the person of Jesus at the end, or even until now. And whatever they tell you, my dear friends, okay, make sure they do not try and dampen your hope or your faith in Jesus. Okay? We've all been there before. We had that one friend who was newly clinged on to his faith in Christ Jesus, and suddenly he became so empowered that he starts praying every time, blessing people, telling other people about Jesus, even when it is a semi-awkward period. Could be during the lunch period at your workspace, could be in a passing discussion after a very formal meeting, you know. It could be even in your very witness to say that, you know what, I'm a Christian, I stand for certain principles in his name, so I'm sorry, I can't do these things because it's against the principles of God. And then they say, "Aiya, Mark, come on lah. Why do you want to stand on those principles?" It's very normal, you know, to just let that slide. So here's what they're going to tell you. Mark, your faith makes you very abnormal. Your faith is going to make you very weird. Your faith is going to make you not normal at all. Right? What should our response be? Our response should be like that of Paul, who says, good, good. I suffer instead of being comfortable, good. Because why? My Lord suffered. That means I'm in the right direction. That's one. And therefore, for us, When someone tells you, Mark, it's not normal for someone to be so enthusiastic of the good news of Jesus, the answer is good. Normal is dead. Normal is people rejecting Jesus and never see the light of day in his presence. Normal is being morally and spiritually bankrupt. Abnormal is following Jesus and finding goodness and finding goodness in his gospel, and that changes our whole lives to be different from others. So if people see you and you're looking very abnormal, it's a good thing. Jesus was not normal in his day. His disciples were not normal. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. My question then to you is, what kind of abnormality are you? Are you just a normal religious person that picks up your faith during the high points of the Christian calendar, that is Easter and Christmas? Or are you the one that truly people can say, well, this guy memang got no shame about his faith in Christ Jesus? Fan the flame. Let it go high to the point that you are not ashamed of it. Because why? That is the gospel that keeps you warm at night. That is the gospel that gives you life instead of death. That is the gospel that is a gift from God that brings you from death to eternal life. And as you receive it, don't be ashamed of it. Rather, keep it. Keep it close. Here's what Paul then tells Timothy. I charge you, Timothy, or what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. By that same Holy Spirit, you can then stand witness to say, this is how Jesus changed my life, and that's why I'm not the same person. And notice, guys, every time you give your testimony of the Lord Jesus in your life, it's not one of vindication, it's not one of bitterness, it's not one of violent conquest, but it's actually one of faith and love. As you can see in verse 13, what you heard from me, keep. You hear the gospel, you hear how it changed my life, keep. Make it a pattern of sound teaching, meaning the gospel that you have experienced, the gospel that you learn from the scriptures, the gospel that you see unfold from the beginning to the end, let that be that continuing pattern of teaching, and make sure it reflects the faith and love of Christ Jesus, which has also been given unto you. I like the way one TikTok video told me, said about this. I watched a TikTok video, it was like, therefore it was only 30 seconds. A new believer, or a person said, you know, she was giving her testimony. She said, when I first became a Christian, I went out to my pastor and say, Pastor, you know, I love Jesus, but this Bible is big. It's long. It's heavy. It's a lot of words. I'm a video guy. You expect me to read all this? How do I appreciate it, especially in this world of videos and TikTok shorts, 30-second videos that encourages me? How do I appreciate this? So here's what the pastor did, and here's what I'd like to do for you. You take the Bible, right, and you pull out Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Okay, do this exercise with me. You got a Bible with you. Find Genesis 1 and 2. It's a slither of a few pages. Ah, here. Okay? Now, bring it up. Bring it up. How thick is it compared to the rest of the Bible? Not much, right? Okay. So this part, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, okay, is God preparing everything for us that we may live in His goodness and His abundance. Okay? Now, take out chapter 3. And it should be normally just one page. And recognize that this is where we messed up. This is where we messed up. So you take Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Okay? If God did not love us, This is the story of our lives. If God did not love us, this is all we have to read. Therefore, take the rest of the Bible, hold it up thick, hold it here like this, hold it at its thickness, lift it up high, don't be ashamed, hold it up. This is the continuing story of God's love chasing after us. No matter how much we have messed up in the whole part of the Bible, no matter how much we messed up in our lives, because the Bible contains people who have messed up. King Saul messed up. King David messed up. King Solomon messed up. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, they were great heroes of faith. But they also recognize that in the fact that they messed up, there's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Because why? God continues to write His life and love for you. So keep the good gift. Keep this good gift. By the Holy Spirit, when you read in the lens of the gospel of Jesus, you will realize how much God loves us. Keep the good gift. Use it as a pattern of teaching. Make it out of faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit. By yourself? No. Again, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Therefore, friends, we have two witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ and the transformation of our lives. We use the scripture as a point of reference on how the Holy Spirit changed the lives of disciples and therefore how we should change. But how we should change is not conforming merely to the pattern that even is in the scriptures, but be transformed by the Holy Spirit first so that we can see the consistent transformation happening in our lives in reflection of the scriptures. Therefore, what should you expect as your witness? You should be able to say, I was once a less loving person, but by the power of God, in knowing Jesus, in being impacted by His Holy Spirit, I have learned to love others. I was a very compromising man in management, in business, in my position of power. But by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I now learn what it means to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly before Him. And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fan the flame. Don't be ashamed. Keep the good gift. And finally, the real contradicting power of the gospel that we can impact in this world is when we return cruelty with kindness. Return cruelty with kindness. You can read in Paul's breath of how actually he might have really wanted to complain about the people who abandoned him when he was in prison. Verse 15, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes, or Phygellus and Hermogenes. Phygellus and Hermogenes, we don't know much about them because that's the only time they were mentioned, except another time maybe in chapter 4 in 2 Timothy. It stands to reason, based on this statement, that there were people leaving the faith because they see a person like Paul being imprisoned, and therefore that becomes a fear point for them and say, oh, I don't want to end up like him. I better leave. I better neglect him. I better deny him. And while I'm at it, I think I better deny Jesus as well, because Jesus also had the same fate. He was put in shackles. He was put before the Sanhedrin. He was tried. He was crucified. I don't want to go through that. So Phygellus and Hermogenes abandoned Paul when he was in prison, possibly because they didn't want to go through the same thing. They were ashamed. They were afraid that association with Paul may end up being like him in prison. So you can see that Paul was about to like membawang or gossip over everything else about this. You know, everyone really abandon me lah to go on mission trip to Lubuk Hantu. And I could have complained and complained like Paul lah, okay? But that's all Paul says about Phygellus and Hermogenes. Here's why. Because God, like, because Paul, in the very trait of God, does not want to keep a person condemned. You know that people don't like, you know that people around Asia abandoned me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. But let's just stop there. Let's go on to talk about how God actually shown mercy and grace upon the faithful. Verse 16, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, he was in Rome. He searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. So we see Paul, as he was, instead of going on and on about how other people has abandoned him, he actually gives words of kindness to those who continue to look after him, to stand beside him, to stand beside the gospel of Jesus. And therefore, the best thing he then does is he gives kindness in prayer, which is the only and best thing that he could do while in prison. So friends, in reflection of timidness, right? Normally for us, if we had that spirit of timidness, we'd be like, ayo, you see, thankfully I didn't join that group lah. So much suffering they go through. Luckily I'm comfortable here with my Bible and my YouTube videos. But the Spirit of God that gives us power, love, and self-discipline should then tell us, oh, wow, you know, other brothers and sisters are suffering for the sake of the gospel. On average, 27,000 people die for the faith of the Lord Jesus. May God have mercy on them, for those who are dying for the name of Jesus. We don't curse the governments. We don't curse the peoples of power. But rather, we intercede for the goodness and kindness of God which we see in the Lord Jesus that can also be seen in these people as well. Nobody gets known or remembered for the cruelty that they have done, unless it's in a negative form, okay? Which one would you rather be remembered as? The reincarnation of Hitler or the reiteration of Mother Teresa? So you have two choices. If you pay back an eye for an eye, the whole world will go blind. An ear for an ear, everyone goes deaf. Or would you rather follow the words of Jesus? By the power of the Holy Spirit, he tells us to love our neighbors. In fact, in Matthew, it's even more direct and more challenging. He actually says to us, "Love our enemies, and do good to those who do evil against you." How can you do that? How could Paul write this out? He is using this as an example again, that is not by his own strength alone, but is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So friends, any encouragement I can give you, just one. Fan the flame of the Holy Spirit. Continue to let your faith grow by the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You can do so by your prayer, your reading, and your constant witness of the good news of Jesus in your lives that is done by the Holy Spirit. Don't be ashamed of it. When people look at you funny because of your faith, that's a good thing, because that means they've never seen anything like that before, and hopefully that becomes a call for them to do the same. Keep that good gift, and please remember, don't keep it in hatred and isolation. but rather keep it as a good teaching, as a good teaching pattern in your life, which is done by faith and love in Christ Jesus, and it is guarded not just by your faithfulness, but it's also guarded by the Holy Spirit that is also guarding you, is guarding you and your life. And finally, one of the things that you will definitely see when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit is that you're able to look at cruelty and be able to pay back with kindness. Why? Because this world dealt cruelly to our Lord Jesus, and yet He gave kindness on the cross, saying, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." So same thing for you. And when you see and you find yourself in chapters of your life, how is it that you could do such things, show such acts of kindness, instead of showing your common colors of your previous life? And the answer is, well, it is the work of that Holy Spirit. So let me encourage you, my dear friends, to let the Holy Spirit be burst a flame in your lives. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We can't do anything else but thank you. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, the seal of our eternal life, the gift of salvation that is done by your Holy Spirit. And it's only by that Holy Spirit we can do anything in your name. And apart from you, O God, we can do nothing. So, Lord, we pray that we will not be ashamed of the good gift that you've given to us, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit and in your good news. Remind us, O Lord, that your whole scripture is in fact a love story of you chasing us and receiving us by your Holy Spirit, that we may continue to witness the goodness of your life, of your good news in our lives. That we are not the same person as we were before because of you. That we're not hopeless, useless, but we are made as your child, as your good gift, as your good gift of worship because of your Holy Spirit and of your love, of the love on the cross and the empty tomb. Teach us, O Lord, to keep it, to appreciate it, to let it grow in us, that we may be a bright light in the midst of darkness. And may the good light and the good flame of the Holy Spirit, may the good news of Jesus Christ be kind and merciful as we seek to serve and love others, because you were kind and merciful to us. We praise you, O God. Encourage us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit for your glory, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.